welcome to EA Spotlight, the new radio show coming for you from the studios of EA Radio here at One Buckhead Plaza. I'm your host today, Stone Payton, and joining me in the studio this morning is Mr. Tom Hughes. How you doing, buddy?
Good, thank you.
Well, hey, it is good to have you back. We had a lot of fun last time you were on. What have you been doing since I saw you last?
Very interesting. More of the same.
Yeah, you've been helping more entrepreneurs open up their shop and work through some of their problems?
Correct. And you know, being the entrepreneur in residence at Kennesaw State has given me the opportunity to help some of the entrepreneurs that are in process out at Kennesaw with various activities that they're doing.
Well, I got to tell you, Kennesaw State ought to be writing you a check every week, because every time I have a conversation with you, you work in that Kennesaw State angle. You are just a walking billboard for those folks.
They do. They have to cut it every week. the question is, what size? And they cut small ones.
Well, there's something really cool coming up on Friday. I know this because we've been invited to do a remote broadcast at this event. It's the EA Symposium out at the Cobb Energy Center. Say a few words about that. What's it all about, and why should people go?
That's a very interesting program that we put on about every other month, and this time it's at Cobb Energy Center because of the show going on downtown in regards to the food with the Four Seasons.
Oh, we're jumping on their coattails. That's smart. This Oxford guy, he is not. He didn't just fall off the turnip truck. He's pretty smart, isn't he?
That's right. And I think it's good. The program's designed for people whose businesses are run between $5 million and $20 million, and the deal is to how to get them to $10 million and $40 million. So we work on various deals to help them move along in terms of growth. So I think if you're an entrepreneur and you're in Atlanta, you really can do fine by coming out. It's a good group of people that meet. About 175 to 225 show up for every meeting, and all sizes of companies in all kinds of industries.
And some really good speakers, right? I mean, these are some big names coming.
Right.
Who are the speakers? Do you remember?
Governor Brown is coming in, ex-Governor Brown from Kentucky. Of course, I think Governor Brown's claim to fame is he married Phyllis George. Some people think his claim to fame is because he bought Kentucky Fried Chicken from the Colonel.
Well, both of those were good moves.
Both of them were smart moves.
Right.
Smart moves. But yeah, it's very interesting. He'll come in and talk. He's certainly is a serial entrepreneur and a very smart guy.
And then is it Star Hall? Is there
right
other
out of coming out of California?
Oh,
right.
Fun stuff! Flying all the way from California to shake Tom Hughes' hand and explore this whole business of entrepreneurship.
Correct. Last month we had Kat on, who's the CEO of Cinnabon, and we had Herman Cain on, who's still running for president of the United States.
I'd vote for Kat before I voted for Herman, but I like them both.
Very good people.
Well, we have a marvelous show lined up this afternoon. First up on EA Spotlight this afternoon is June Slusser. She's with Coldwell Banker High Country Realty. Welcome to the show, June.
Why, thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, we are delighted to have you. Give us a little bit of a feel for what you guys are out there doing for folks. What's your organization all about?
Well, if I can, let me start with a commercial, because you were talking about the symposium earlier, and I got introduced to EA by a friend of mine, and you don't have to just be from Atlanta to go to the symposium. In fact, I drive down from Blue Ridge, which is about 90 miles north of Atlanta, and I just find it is an inspiring session. It's great to be with 175 or so other people that are all having some of the same challenges and successes, and I just think it's a great opportunity. So, and thanks for allowing me to be here and tell you a little bit about my company. I'm a four-office Coldwell Banker real estate company. I was a corporate junkie for years on the corporate ladder, worked out of Atlanta. My husband and I had an opportunity to buy a place up in the mountains. We thought we'd escape on weekends. And we'd go up there, and lo and behold, our weekends got longer and longer. So the work week became 4 days and then 3 days, and we were spending more time in the mountains. And finally, I decided it was time to quit my job and moved up to the mountains and bought a real estate company and have taken some time to grow it. A lot of fun things going on in Blue Ridge. We are Georgia's Blue Ridge, if you will. We are the southern tip of the Blue Ridge Mountains. And it's a place where folks from Florida and from Atlanta come to get away from metropolitan life, if you don't like the traffic and the stress of being in the cities all the time. And people are coming there and finding it's a place to invest some money in a second home or a getaway cabin, piece of land. More investors are coming back into the marketplace, and we're seeing that individuals usually in that age bracket between 30 and 60 are finding there's something there for them, something special. It's a place to reconnect with community, a place to get involved in the community, great outdoor activities going on there. So just a lot happening, and I would invite folks who haven't had a chance to come to that part of the country to come on up and at least take a look around, get involved, and see what it's like.
Now, real estate strikes me as a very competitive arena, and it's my understanding that you guys really are a market leader out there in that geography. I mean, why? How? How are you pulling that off?
And we have been blessed. Let me tell you, there's a little bit of luck that's gone into it and a little bit of experience from other markets, I think, that's helped me. But when I moved from Atlanta up to Blue Ridge, I felt like I was stepping back in time about 10 or 15 years. Things weren't quite as competitive, a little bit warmer and friendlier business environment, if you will. But I felt like I had a good look into the future and could see what was coming, because those of you who are familiar with the Atlanta area, you know that you can climb on I-75 and then get on I-575, and in 90 minutes, you're in my neck of the woods. So I knew that some of the major real estate companies were going to be opening operations. There's just too many good things going on in the market for some of the big operations not to jump up into that area and get involved. So I had the good fortune of bringing some of that knowledge and some of that vision with me. And the first thing I did was just create a business plan and a marketing strategy for how we would grow to be. The biggest was a goal. It wasn't the number one goal. The number one goal was to be the best and to leave a lasting impression with the clients that we serve, because we knew that that 50-year-old that would come to buy a house also had children that were going to be coming up through the ranks and buying, and they had parents and friends, and it was a contagious type of sale. So we just wanted to make sure that we were top of mind when we interacted with those individuals. So we've grown by adding good people. Most of the team members in my firm are not from Blue Ridge or from that area. They're from all over the country. Most were not in real estate when they were 25 years old. They were in some other career. And they came there for lifestyle and to get involved in something that they truly enjoyed. So we were very selective about who we brought to the team, and then we really jumped onto a growth strategy. So we identified a location that I thought was suitable for our facility in Blue Ridge, and we completely gutted a 1895-year-old building.
I bet it's gorgeous. So who is buying this property? Is there a profile, a description of this person?
Yeah, there really is. And I mentioned it earlier. They're generally between 30 and 60 years old. They are, right now, most are from the Atlanta metro marketplace. They're individuals who are looking for an investment. They're looking for a second home. They're thinking about perhaps buying a place that can be a lodge or a family retreat where they bring all the family members in and enjoy the holidays. They are, you know, on the weekends, you see the bikers, the hikers, the kayakers. They're individuals that go back Sunday night and put their suits and ties back on, and they're the attorneys and lawyers during the week, but then they come up and they do some crazy outdoor activities. So they're folks who are really looking for lifestyle. It's all about lifestyle.
I would say to you that things are probably a little slower up there. I think I saw a sign that Mosey is a speed up there in the mountains, isn't it?
Let me back up. Yes, Mosey is a speed in the mountains. We absolutely do enjoy our life. We sit on our decks. We communicate with our neighbors. We get involved in the community. We enjoy life, I think, at a pace that's a little bit more suitable for some folks than being in some of the metropolitan markets. But business is not necessarily moving at a mosey pace right now.
Right.
Things are picking up there, so we're pretty excited about that.
So how do you shop? Someone like me that doesn't know everything I know about real estate, you could put on the head of a pin. but how do you shop for a real estate agent? What kind of questions should you be asking a real estate agent to get the most out of that experience, you think?
You know, great question. Today, most buyers who are shopping for a home statistically will start their search on the internet. And what I found they do, they're going to type in an organic phrase. They're going to look for something specific. And let's say you're sitting here in Atlanta, you want to search for a home, you type in Hiawassee, Georgia, real estate. And what's going to pop up will be a series of real estate companies and offerings. And statistically, unfortunately, the average buyer begins working with the first person who responds to them. And that's kind of luck of the draw. In some cases, that person may be great. In other cases, they may not be. They just happen to be there on the internet and see it when that lead comes in. So there are some questions that I think a consumer needs to ask. They really need to be prepared to understand what it is their goal is. And they need to make sure that the agent or the company they're working with is focused on buyer needs. So if that agent or that company is taking time to learn more about what it is you're trying to achieve, is it an investment? Is it a second home? Is it something that's going to be a property you want to flip in a few years? You really want to find someone who's listening and who's keen in. I think the other thing is a buyer should look for someone who's providing information. I know that's one of our goals. We are doing everything we can to reach out to the buyers who are seeking information in a variety of different ways. So some people are searching on the internet. Some people still like print information. Others are absolutely mobile. And so we've just had to take our website, completely put it on mobile device, so it's completely searchable.
So you've done all this. You've accommodated this shift in the marketplace.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We know that it's coming to our area soon.
Right.
We want to be on the cutting edge of that.
So what's your favorite part about this business, and what do you find the most challenging, if not downright frustrating sometimes?
Probably the thing I enjoy most, there are really two things. I love seeing the buyer who absolutely falls in love, who comes up, gets to exit 16 on 575 and says, ah, start to see the mountains in the, you know, through the windshield. They come up, their heartbeat goes down a little bit. They're enjoying life. When we see them fall in love with the property, there's so much joy in that. The other thing for me is working with an agent and having them build a successful career. And I love that piece of it. So right now, you know, there's still people that aren't working. They're still leaving industries or leaving careers. And while we hear all these ugly things about the real estate market on the news, the reality is we are right on the cusp, I believe, of turning around. It's not going to be the same as what it was. There clearly is going to be a difference in the way business is done. But I absolutely believe that someone who's, you know, strategic in their thinking about a career can find a great opportunity in real estate.
Let me ask one question in that regards. With property values being down a little bit here in Atlanta,
yep.
I take it there's some really good buys at the present moment up in the mountain area.
You know, you're absolutely right. Now, the market values in our mountain area aren't down as much as they are in the metropolitan areas. Primary reason for that is because we didn't have all the subprime meltdown. We don't have a lot of first-time home buyers. We don't have industry there other than tourism. So you've got mostly well-heeled borrowers and buyers who are purchasing there. But that being said, prices have still come down. I mean, we do have some foreclosures. We do have some short sale activity going on. But we're right at about the point where our market's normalizing. And one of the reasons that I say that is when it was just going gangbusters, 2005 and 6, we would average about 6,000 listings on the market in our area. That sounds small, I know, for some of the metropolitan areas, but around 6,000. When the market was, in my opinion, at its worst, we had about 15,000 listings on the market. We're back down to 9,000. All of a sudden, I'm seeing multiple offers. I'm seeing buyers coming up from Atlanta or Florida thinking, oh, I'm going to come and steal a property. They make an offer on something significantly below list price, and all of a sudden they find they're in a multiple offer situation and the house or property goes for full price. So we're getting back to that level market field.
So what's next for you guys? What's on the horizon? Any really cool plans for the future that you're willing to share?
Yeah. We are completely remaking the process. We want that buyer-seller who lives somewhere else but has a property or wants a property in our area, we want it to be as streamlined and easy for them as possible, taking advantage of some new technologies. So we've hired a bunch of young people because they're the ones who know how to do this stuff, hired some young people to look at our processes. We've brought some advisors in to help us as well. We're going completely paperless. So, you know, no more file cabinets. I'm going to be able to get rid of some of my real estate because I just don't have to store files anymore. But completely paperless. We've added some new text technology for our team and for consumers. And we've got some acquisitions on the forefront. We're looking at a few other companies in the markets that we already serve and then in a couple of other neighboring markets that I think we're probably going to be getting involved in.
Exciting stuff. Yeah, yeah. So how can our listeners get in touch with you and find out more about what's available up there and get some really strong counsel and expertise from people that want to listen and genuinely help them?
Well, thank you. We are Coldwell Banker, so obviously nationally known organization. You get on the web and just search for Coldwell Banker in North Georgia, and you're going to find us. But more specifically, our website is CB, like Coldwell Banker, cbhighcountry.com. They're always welcome to call me. My name is June Slusser. Our office number is 706-632-7311.
Wow. Thank you so much for joining us,
June. Thank you.
Well,
my pleasure.
I hope you'll come back sometime, maybe bring one of your clients that has been through this enhanced process.
I would love to.
Would you be up for that?
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be terrific. Can you hang out with us for a little while we visit with our next guest?
Would love to. Thanks.
All right. Well, next up on EA Spotlight this afternoon is a gentleman with DocuMax Digital Printing, and it is Mr. Mark McKenzie. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Hey, Stone. How are you?
I am doing, man. You sound a little hoarse. You been into the hockey game? What's going on over there?
Well, you know, I'm out beating the streets every day having to talk up a storm, and my voice gets a little hoarse during all that conversation.
So what's going on in your world? What do you guys do, DocuMax? It's got to be something to do with printing, right?
Well, it is. It's we started out in 1975 as a traditional printer and have evolved into the digital arena. So we are also not only traditional with offset printing, but we have digital capabilities as well. So it's something that we push, one-to-one variable marketing, direct mail, things that people just need small amounts, as well as we still do the large runs of 100, 200,000 pieces.
So variable marketing, does that mean like you do it sometimes and sometimes you don't? What
is I apologize. Variable
what is that?
Variable is something that's customized. It's goes specifically to the client with the client's name attached to it. So it makes that piece personable. So that mail would go directly to Stone with your name, maybe your photograph. If we knew that you loved dogs, we'd put a dog in that.
Now, that's just downright sneaky. Does that work?
It does
work. I mean, if you had a golden retriever, I have a golden retriever at the house. If you had a golden retriever on the piece of direct mail that comes to me trying to sell me some outdoor piece of furniture, I mean, I'd be all over it, right?
Well, I would hope you would. It actually is. We find that information through data mining, and we utilize that data mining to actually put a relevant message in front of you with the hopes that you respond to our call to action.
You know, I suggested a little while ago when we were talking with June Slusser that hers must be a very competitive arena, but man, your business must be just crazy competitive. How do you differentiate yourself?
Well, you know, our market has changed dramatically in the 35 years we've been in business, and one way we differentiate ourselves is through our experience. Being around for 35 years, we've seen a lot of things work that are tried and true, as well as we've seen a lot of the technologies evolve, and what we've done is we've partnered ourselves with quality vendors, quality resources, and great friends that help us utilize the new technologies that are out there.
Now, Tom, in your day, you must have just bought a ton of printing with all the entrepreneurial efforts you're involved in. How do you make decisions about who you're going to do business with when there's so many choices out there?
That's always an interesting question. The one thing about the printing industry is the standpoint that once you find a good printer, you pretty well stick with them. They understand your business, and I happened to buy a large web press organization back in 1984. I bought the printing division from American Standard, and we were not in small run document imaging. We were in long run printing, and you have to find and there are quality printers in every market, and I can say I'm familiar with DocuMax, and they're good solid printer for day-to-day printing. And most runs have now gone down in size. People used to print 1 million runs, 2 million runs. Those are not where it's at. The runs have come down in size, and so therefore it's more important to find somebody who's a quality printer, who you can just call on the phone and say, I need more envelopes, I need more letterhead, I need more whatever it is that you know, and they already have the everything they need there in order to be able to do that, and they can just do it and send it to you. It's hard to find that guy coming out of the box to do that, and a lot of people make a mistake sometimes in finding the original printer, but once you find a good one, you just stick with them.
So, Mark, this is my Connie Chung question, just between me and you now. Just forget about all the listeners out there. But, I mean, print, isn't it really dead?
You know, that's an interesting question. And I have a lot of people that say, well, you know, print is dead. Well, I want to bring a point to is that there's one of the largest Internet companies in the world utilizing direct mail and print marketing. And that just so happens to be Google. I don't know how many people will look in their mailbox and they will see a Google advertising talking about directing people back to the web. And that's one of the great utilizations of print, is to actually utilize print with a message that actually directs you back to a landing page or to the Internet, a personal landing page, a widget, whatever you're trying to achieve when gathering information. Print helps drive that message back to the Internet.
So say more about this personal landing page thing. It's Pearl. Is that an acronym that's used in your business? Say more about that.
Pearl is a personal URL, which would be a landing page where you would gather information that would direct your actual client to that page to either gather information to promote a product or supply more information to the client. And it would be something that would be stonelovesdogs.com. And you would go in and type that information in, and it would direct you directly to a landing page with all your pertinent information already auto-filled on that page. That's one way that a Pearl uses. What is happening now is there's a thing called a quick response code, and it's a QR code. And that is taking the place of a lot of Pearls. Pearls are still very important, but these QR codes with any smartphone that has the app on it, an actual smartphone with a QR reader, can actually scan that code on the fly. You're capturing that information directly on your smartphone. The landing page is being – the information is being captured on the landing page. So when I put a QR code on a printed material, piece of printed material, that once that person scans that information, then we can gather information directly from a smartphone. And those are some of the advantages that we're promoting with our clients and our prospects.
Mark, let me ask you a question. Now, one of the things that I think is unusual is that you came back to become part of the family-owned business. 33 years, that's a long time.
Well, it is. And, you know, I come from a really large family, Tom. And I have 6 brothers and 3 sisters. We pretty much, everyone in my family, my brothers and sisters, have actually worked in the business at one time or another. My father was an accountant, and he and my uncle purchased this business and with the thought that they would be able to send their kids to a place to work so they could get enough money to go get a college education without having to actually dole that money out themselves. And I came to Atlanta right out of high school to learn the family business, printing. I fell in love with it. I actually love Colorado, where I grew up. So I went back to Colorado to a technical college and studied graphic arts and printing because I loved it so much, and I realized that that's really what I wanted to do. I wanted to participate in the family business. Family is very important to me, and I don't think that I could be in the position that I'm in without the support of my brothers, who are my partners in the family business. And it's something you don't see a lot anymore. A lot of corporations, but in my business, I have a brother that actually handles all my production. I have a brother that handles basically all the customer service of my top 35 clients. My job in the business is to actually go out and try to network and create the rain that would support our business.
I have a brother in Tallahassee, and we don't get along very well. He's younger, better looking, and makes more money than me. I just really don't care for the man.
I didn't say I get along with my brothers. I just said we work well. No, we do. We get along really well.
So do you guys specialize in a handful of specific industries, or you try to serve a whole lot of different industries?
Well, educational is a big part of my business, the educational industries, mostly private schools, colleges. The other thing is that we kind of grew up in the financial industry, doing banking in downtown Atlanta, where one of our locations originally was. We had probably five of the biggest regional banks in downtown Atlanta. It just so happened that I got the opportunity to start printing for a couple of them, CNS Bank, which ended up being Nations Bank, which eventually evolved into Bank of America. I still do a small project here every now and then for Bank of America. Wachovia, which at the time was First American Bank, which became South Trust Bank, which became Wachovia, and then when First Union bought Wachovia and turned it in, we lost that account. But I have a lot of my clients that were in those banks became small bankers and community bankers. So I got to follow a lot of those people in their jobs. So financial printing, also accounting is a big plus for me in the financial wealth management clients are good clients, as well as manufacturing. So I do have certain customers and certain profiles that I try to target, but small businesses are a big part of my business also.
So how has this whole relationship with the EA turned out for you? Are you getting something out of it? And if so, how's it working for you?
Well, it actually works really well. And I've, like I mentioned before, I do a lot of networking, have for many years, and I was blessed to have met Cliff Oxford back when we were Atlanta JCs together in the mid-90s.
You met Cliff Oxford before he was Cliff Oxford.
Well, he was always Cliff Oxford, and he really is pretty much the same person. He just now has a little bit deeper pocket. But, you know, the thing was is that I was in membership at the Atlanta JCs. He worked on the empty stocking fund. He, you know, he called me and said, "Mark, I need to find people to fill the void here in this empty stocking fund. We're trying to get people here to work and help these people distribute these toys." And that was my job. So over the years, Cliff and I have had an on and off again relationship where we run into each other, help each other. And he invited me to this EA event and early on when he started it out. And I saw what the advantages of participating in Entrepreneur Advisors. I actually serve as a membership chair / ambassador for Entrepreneur Advisors. I'd like to, part of that role is I invite entrepreneurs, C-level executives to the symposiums and expose them to some of the things going on with Entrepreneur Advisors. And it really helps my business because it puts me in the spotlight of being somebody in the know that understands what's going on with small business and entrepreneurs trying to grow their business.
Well, you didn't invite me.
Well, you know, Stone.
criteria you got to meet?
There was a few things. You're on my list, though.
That's good to know. I tell you what, though, you live up to your advanced press. In fact, you brought a guest with you today that you work very closely with. Would you introduce your guest?
Yes, I would. This is Andrea Bussey with IntelliText. She does mobile media marketing, and she is one of the leaders in her industry, if not the leader in her industry. And I work hand in hand with Andrea on a lot of projects, as well as we are referral partners. We refer a lot of clients back and forth. We also serve on the board of advisors for golfforthekids.com, which is a charity golf tournament for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital.
Okay, well, your 15 minutes of fame are up. I want to talk to Andrea.
I don't blame you.
Welcome to the show, Andrea.
Thank you for having me. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, so tell us about IntelliText.
Well, IntelliTech specializes in customer engagement technologies. And there's a lot of noise out there about texting and QR codes, and people talk about different ways to integrate that with what they're doing in social media and, of course, their online presence with search and so forth. The key is to be able to bring all that together in a way that's simplistic enough for the business owner to be able to manage and actually see tangible results from, but also have it be effective enough to move mountains, which is what people need right now in this economy. And that's why we do feel we've had the success that we have with IntelliTech, because we can simplify the process, but make it super, super effective. Because you don't need to be spending your time learning all about multimedia texting and QR codes and things like that. You just need to know how to execute them in a way that's seamless, that your customers appreciate, that's going to drive traffic.
And so is this a primary strategy for you guys, a go-to-market strategy to build a relationship and work hand-in-hand with somebody like DocuMax?
Yes, often we will work with channel partners, and I can tell you in the Atlanta area, there's no one better than DocuMax Digital Printing. They understand technology and how it correlates with building the relationship with clients. And direct mail and what they're doing through print, whether it's a poster or it's a business card, it's absolutely important to extend the reach. And if you extend the reach by using a QR code or a texting campaign, now you've doubled the efficacy of that marketing without hardly any work at all. And they understand that. So that's why we've chosen to partner with DocuMax.
Did you hear me tee that up, Tom? I could be an infomercial host. I teed that up, and she just set it up and knocked it out of the park for Mark, right?
You couldn't have done it better. I mean, it's the question I would have is one of which way does it go? Does it go from people who come for print media that suddenly realize they need more than print media? Is it people who come in from an IntelliText kind of deal that need print media as a go along with what they're doing from a text market? Which way do you see it going?
I think it's both. I think oftentimes he'll have a client that understands the value of the new technologies on the market, but doesn't necessarily know execution strategy. And that's where it's important to have a printer like DocuMax that understands it, who can make it very simple. On the other hand, we may be working with real estate agents. We may be working with a retail environment or a restaurant or somebody in the entertainment business that understands the value of cross-media promotion. And oftentimes we'll say, what are you doing regarding print? And then the blank look comes over their face, and now we have a solution that we can hand them on a silver platter.
When it comes to mobile marketing, it's my understanding that we are right in your wheelhouse. Talk more about mobile marketing and the trends that we can expect going forward.
Well, there's a lot of exciting things happening on the forefront right now, and we do have the privilege of working cross-industry, which is nice because if we see best practices that are really hitting home runs in one, we can bring that success over to another industry. So an example of the best way to move forward, if you're a small business or a large enterprise, is to find a way to tie it all in together, and that's what we really specialize in. So whether you're doing a direct mail or anything printed piece, could be promotional products. So anything printed, you would probably use a QR code to bring them in. But the difference is we actually have a back end that allows that QR code to take you directly to a mobile optimized mini site that you can view on your phone and then click through to take action. And then, of course, the idea is to aggregate or build an opt-in database for that client and that retailer so they can reach back out with more effective long-term marketing. But what happens if you're doing a radio spot, for example, or you're doing a billboard or TV campaign? In that case, we'd use a short code. And most people are familiar. Text the word vote to 12345. It's kind of American Idol style. Right. And again, we attach kind of a trailer to the back end of that truck and enable that person to further opt in for ongoing communications. But if it's through the web, then we'll have data collection portals that opt like little vacuum cleaners that suck in opt-in data from your website, your social media pages, your blog, your email campaigns. And we make it fun and inviting for that client to opt in. And they feel the luxury of having all the information that they need, or sometimes a special goodie right there on their phone.
Now, I understand that you are also a speaker and you have an opportunity to speak in a number of different, in front of a number of different groups. What kind of groups do you speak to, and what exactly do you talk about? What kind of message are you trying to get out to those folks?
Well, education is key. And because there's a lot of noise surrounding this space, we try to cut through that and simplify the process for people. One of the most recent things I did, I had the privilege of being a keynote for a tag event here to discuss geolocation and proximity marketing, because people feel nervous about that big brother. You know, I don't know that I want somebody knowing walking by their store and communicating to me. And again, there's a right and a wrong way to reach out. And when you talk about multimedia texting, meaning it's not just an SMS text, it actually comes through with a full picture, rotating, you know, banners, scrolling graphics, embedded video. People think that's really cool, but they don't necessarily know how to monetize it. How do I make money with that? And how do I do it in a way that's super effective but non-invasive for my best clients? And how do I use it for lead generation? So that's what I spend most of my time talking about, is how to integrate, how to do it in a way that's classy and effective and professional, that makes sense and is simple to employ.
Sounds like a future symposium speaker to me, Tom. What do you think?
Well, I tell you, there's a lot of noise out there. She's exactly right. There is a lot of noise, and I think trying to bring that noise level down by giving facts is a difficult ballgame.
I want to hear more about the entrepreneurial journey. So give us a little bit about your background and how you made it to this point, if you don't mind.
No, sure, I'm happy to. What actually launched in Teletext many years ago was the fact that I owned another business, which is still alive and well, called MyCustomDay.com, which is a virtual concierge service. And we had about 2 million members nationwide, about 480 merchant partners across the country. And then when the economy started to take a nosedive, we realized some attrition. We started losing customers because it was more of a luxury. So we dropped the monthly rate and we held our 2 million members, but then businesses started going out of business. You know, the economy mm-hmm. was really tanking. And so we went to them as a technology company and said, how can we help? I mean, what do you need? And they said, you know what we need? We need bodies. We need people through the doors without having to discount or coupon or give away the farm. And we need to, you know, increase our sales and retention. So that's when we started to take a real serious look at texting because of the low cost and high value. But again, there is a right and a wrong way to do it. You can really upset your clients if you do it incorrectly. And so we saw the trends going on in the marketplace and that businesses were being built around a single tactic. And we said we disagree with that fundamentally, because what works for one large client doesn't necessarily work for another small client. How do we employ all these new cutting edge, very, very cool technologies in a way that's leverageable but still simple enough to actually do? And so the evolution began. And I guess they say the rest is history.
What a great story. So how can our listeners get in touch with you and learn more about what you guys are doing?
You can always go to the website at intellitext.com, which is spelled INTELATEXT. And you're welcome to give us a call. We have got mobile marketing black belts standing by to help you because we love education and we love to give advice. And oftentimes we'll educate people that maybe they're not quite ready yet or they need something else first. And, you know, that's an interesting part of what we do, is preparing people on this journey for mobile integration. And that phone number is 866-301-3283.
Terrific. Well, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Sure.
And we really
Thank
would
you.
Love to have you come back sometime. And again, maybe with a client, and we could just walk through that whole scenario and learn about your business from your client's perspective. I think that could be a very interesting. Would you be up for that, maybe?
Sure. Oh, I'd love it. Be happy to.
Well, Mark, home run, buddy. I mean, your interview was adequate. You know, you did a good job. But home run on bringing Andrea. Nicely done.
Well, that's what I do for a living, is I promote other people. I have a pay it forward mantra. What happens always works its way in a circle, and I get blessed on the end. Maybe not here on earth, but at least in heaven, hopefully.
Well, in that vein, let's give our listeners an opportunity to contact you as well. What's the best way for them to reach out to you?
One of the best ways is to call us directly, 404-724-9963. Visit our website at www.documax.com, or they can email me at mark.mckenzie@documax.com.
Well, thanks again for coming, buddy. And we'll see you later in the week at the symposium, yeah?
You will see me with probably about 12 to 15 guests. So
nice.
Stop by. I'll make some introductions.
You really are the great. Well, I'll tell you what. Stop by. We're going to be doing remote broadcasts. They're in the lobby at the Cobb Energy Center. Come by. Bring a guest. We'll sit down, and we'll let you do the talking, and we'll have you interview them.
That sounds great.
Fun
stuff. I look forward to it.
Yeah. Well, Tom, did you learn anything this afternoon, buddy?
I certainly did. Learned quite a bit.
This is a lot. This piece of heck out of working, doesn't it?
Yeah, I can imagine it. But, well, you know, it depends on how many these people now who text back and forth between, I think more people now's thumbs are that never did activity with their thumbs before.
We know what the opposable thumbs are for. It's taken us how many thousands of years, but right. Now we've cracked the code, right?
Right, especially when you're driving down the freeway and you're texting car stopping ahead, crash.
That's good advice. Well, until next time, this is Stone Payton, Tom Hughes. Our guest today, Tom, June, Mark, and Andrea, thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time on EA Spotlight.